The epistle upon to be read for the circumcision of our Lord is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Father hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel. This is a gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. The grace of God, our Savior, had appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the beginning of a new year is a very serious matter for each and every one of us, because the number of our years on earth are very few. All of us have awakened today to see the passing of one of those few years which form the short span of our life. It is a year that has gone and never will return, and now another year commences. We are all, each and every one of us, old and young alike, one stage closer to our eternity. And truly, this is a solemn thought. Even if we would know for sure how long our duration of our life would be. But it is even more of a solemn thought than for some that this year which has arrived may be our last. There is no one here present who has seen the opening of this new year, who can look with certainty to the end of this year. We have only to think of how many of our own members have passed away this last year, who saw the beginning of the year, but did not see the end. Each and every one of us then should ask, will we be numbered among those of this year who will see the end of 2012? The answer only God knows. He who keeps the times and seasons in his merciful hands and his wisdom. But instead of pondering the sober thought, we should ask a question of ourselves which we can answer and which we must make practical in our own lives. And the question is, if I should be called out of this world during this year, will I be prepared? This question we should ask ourselves as we begin a new year, our journey towards our land of exile. Today, this anniversary of the beginning of a new year is a grace which our Lord has given to all men that are alive today. Those who are living in habits of sin, or those in the neglect of their religious duties, those who become slothful in their spiritual life, those who have become lukewarm in their prayers or the practice of the faith, those who have given themselves over to comfort or ease in this life, now have been given a new year to overcome the occasions of sin, so as to not add another page of crimes to the judgment book of God. This truly is a grace which we must not neglect. It is a new year which God has given to us to heed the words that St. Paul has told us today in the book of Titus, to renounce impiety, to renounce worldly desires. For in these words are summed up all the evils of the world that we must avoid to gain our eternal home. Impiety is sinfulness and worldliness, which is a living for the world and not for God. Truly is a day which many resolutions are made, the most important of which, for those who have been leading lives of sin, is to make the resolution to renounce the habit of sin. Their souls have been the slaves of pride, Now, today is the time to resolve to practice humility, to imitate the example of our divine Lord as he lies in the stable of Bethlehem. Pride is the beginning of all sin. And so he who came to redeem mankind would begin our redemption by humbling himself to the lowest depths of self-abasement. And if we would reform our lives in real earnest, we must begin by humbling ourselves. If we've been desirous for the world's goods, now is the time to begin to be poor in spirit. If we have been guilty of impurity or inordinate desires and pleasures, now is the time to become pure and chaste in mind and body. If we have harbored angry thoughts, spiteful and revengeful feelings, it is now the time to learn from the Sacred Heart to be meek and gentle and forgiving. If we have hitherto been addicted to intemperance, now let us learn to live soberly as becomes Catholics. If up to this time we have been envious or jealous or fond of our own will, now is the time to learn to submit to everyone for Christ's sake. If during the past year we have been slothful, if we have been negligent in God's service, now is the time to be zealous, to labor more diligently for his honor and for his glory. We must begin these resolutions by renouncing our worldly desires. My dear faithful, it is not simply enough to renounce sin. We must also renounce the world and its temptations. The world is ever seeking to drag us along with it in this current of its principles and its practices, whose end is perdition. As St. John says, "For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life." If we want to avoid falling into the abyss, we must abandon all sympathy and approbation of the world and its evil principles. We must set ourselves resolutely against them, against all the insidious attractions and desires which the world uses to ensnare us, against its vile books, its magazines, its tabloids, its amusements, and so on. It's not enough, however, simply to renounce the two great evils of impiety and worldliness. We must set ourselves to live soberly and justly and piously in this world. We must live soberly by avoiding all intemperance and all excessive indulgence of our lower appetites. We are to live justly by doing the works of justice not only to our relation and our fellow creatures, by giving them everything that is their due, but most especially to live justly by giving to God what is his due, by rendering to him the service and homage that he justly claims from us. We are the creatures of God, and we owe him above all else honor and respect. But not only are we his creatures, but we have been purchased. We have been purchased by the Christ child and his most precious blood. And therefore we belong entirely to him. We owe to him our devotedness without reserve. On this first day of the new year of grace, it is our solemn duty to renew our resolutions, to discharge our obligations more faithfully during this coming year, to use the year now to draw closer and closer to our sanctity, to use this year, which will soon pass, and we will ever be closer to eternity than we are today. We must live piously by not being satisfied with doing the bare minimum for our or of strict obligation of our Catholic faith. We should be devoted wholly to Almighty God, to love him, to serve him with our whole soul, with our whole mind, our whole heart, and our whole strength. We must not be satisfied with simply hearing Mass only on Sundays and only on days of obligation. We should strive to assist as often as possible. For as the Sacred Scripture says, the just man shall scarcely be saved. How we need the graces which flow from the altar, those fruits of our redemption gained by our divine infant Savior, to be used by us to become more perfect, as our Father says, our Lord says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The graces that flow from the altar to save our souls. We should find it the greatest happiness to be able to come and assist at the sacred functions throughout the year. If we have not made the first 9 Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart, make the resolve today to begin this week, this Friday, to make your 9 first Fridays. If you have not made the first 5 Saturdays, make the resolve today to honor the Immaculate Heart. Begin the first 5 Saturdays. If we have been lax in coming to all-night adoration, to kneel before our divine Redeemer and make reparation for the countless offenses and sins of mankind, if we have been lax in coming before Him to comfort the Sacred Heart who has done so much for us, make the resolve today to spend 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament in all-night adoration. 1 hour a month to repair the damage done to His heart. We should find the greatest consolation in coming to our divine Redeemer, in pouring out our petitions to Him, who continually dwells in the tabernacle here, patiently waiting for our hearts. We should not be satisfied with simply making our Easter duty and receiving the food of our souls once during this coming year, but rather we should prepare ourselves and receive this sacred food as often as we can. A soul hungers for the bread which has come down from heaven, and if it is not satisfied, it becomes weak, and it will die. Every day we pray the Our Father. We ask for our daily bread. And while we are desirous for the bread that perishes, we should even be more eager for the bread of life, to nourish our souls to everlasting life. My dear faithful, none of these prescriptions set down by St. Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, are impossible to fulfill. It may seem difficult to our corrupt human nature to renounce impiety and worldliness, to live soberly and justly and piously. But by the supernatural grace of God, the supernatural grace of the divine child, it is easy for men of good will. We have been given the great lesson of the Son of God Himself as He lies in the manger of Bethlehem. He stretched out on a bed of straw. He teaches us by His example how to live our lives with the help of His grace. In childlike confidence, in childlike innocence, in childlike guilelessness, He teaches us to renounce impiety. His voluntary renunciation of all earthly comforts and even necessities teaches us to renounce worldly desires. His life, His example, and His grace that He gives enables us to follow that example. My dear faithful, put yourselves on your knees before the crib of the Savior and pray. Pray earnestly for a resolve to love His most sacred heart. Do not mistake a momentary enthusiasm for a conversion of heart. A conversion of heart is persevering, not simply a moment in time. And pray, because there can be no real perseverance, no real conversion of life or a conversion of heart without prayer. Pray that you may put into practice good resolutions, the resolutions that you make today, of spending the coming year more profitable to your salvation than all of the preceding years, so that you may with true confidence look forward to the blessed hope and the coming of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who will welcome you into the kingdom, his eternal kingdom, where time will be no more. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.